You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 779 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. The Dressage Radio Show is the official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation. On today's show, we have Dressage Devon Report. Myself and Megan bring you highlights straight from one of the most iconic dressage show in the U.S., Dressage at Devon. First, we chat with Suzanne Owen Hurt about her experience at Devon and unique perspective as a commentator. Then we catch up with Stacey Brass, who shares her behind-the-scenes stories, what's it like to be a handler at the prestigious breed show. Tune in for the insights, great stories, and the magic of Dressage at Devon. This is Reese Koffler Stanfield in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Oregon, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
Hey, Reese. I'm tired. I'm getting ready for the USDF. It's the teaching seminar is what I'll be hosting this weekend. What are you up to?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Well, Megan, fill everybody in about what you're doing, because this is, this is a series, and as an organizer and a certified instructor, it's a lot, right? So tell everyone what you're doing.
So it's a lot of work, guys, and I want to see you there.
Yes, come to Megan's farm. Like, if we didn't have our show, I would be there, because it's amazing, but it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, October 11th through the 12th. Day one is actually for everyone. So yes, it's focused on instructors being certified. However, it's a development for everyone. Everyone should really be there for the... really impressed with the first part. We did the riding session. And the first day in the morning was a classroom session. We had three different PowerPoints. Bailey Cook and Ann Guptill came to my farm, and they were the faculty that led the classroom. And then in the afternoon, we had four live demonstrations from first level through fourth, and it's open to the public. And it's wonderful because we can sit at small tables, we can meet people, we can network, we can talk in small groups, and then it's also a large discussion. I highly, highly recommend it. I'm very impressed with the new seminars of the USDF developing program. So I love it. And then the second day is closed to PIs, which are participating instructors, and they get an opportunity to, for this one, they're going to teach my students on my school horses. And they are evaluated and graded and get advice, encouraged. And it's such a great program. Don't you agree, Reese?
Oh my gosh, it's fantastic. And like I said, if I could, I would be there, because I think it's so phenomenal. Again, it's open. Now, you have to pay a fee, just like, you know, to help run it. But, you know, some of them, like the FEI workshops, are closed just to participating instructors. Mm-hmm. So this is your opportunity to go and get your toes wet and see. And really, if you're interested or even want to just increase your eye and your skill set, these are phenomenal. So I love
it. It's $100. You get snacks. You get lunch. Yeah. You have snacks in the morning and coffee in the morning. And same with the afternoon. Cookies made by Lisa, my student Lisa.
Love
Lisa. And lunch. And for, you know, like, you can't forget all the knowledge you get. You have two faculty that are there. You can ask questions on anything. We talked about bidding at the last seminar. I mean, It's really a wonderful opportunity, and I highly recommend more people host. Even though it is a lot of work, I also recommend maybe having a GMO. I did not. It's all me and a couple of my students who I'm super grateful for that are helping me put it on. So, I think it's a wonderful program that everyone should attend.
I love it. I know. And that next weekend when you're hosting,
yeah,
Big Rocky and I, we get, you know, we're going to the developing clinic.
Yay!
With Olivia Lagoy-Welds. I know. I'm so excited. Big Rocky, he did well at the horse show. And I was like, let me throw my name in the hat, you know? So it was a little, I was like, let's do it. So it's at a farm very close to me. And I'm really looking forward to it. And again, talking about, you know, those events, the developing clinics are also closed. I mean, you have a lot of events sometimes that you can't get access to. So one that you have access to is awesome. So that's why I can't come to Megan's. But I would enjoy it. But
I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah. Ooh. So that'll be fun. So we have lots of stuff we'll be able to talk about on the next show, which is so fun. And yeah, we have a horse show this weekend coming up. I have a couple riders that are working their last score for their bronze medal.
Get it done.
I know. Those are the ones where you're just secretly, Megan and I and your trainers, we're praying to anybody who will listen. Because we want our riders to get their scores. And especially as the year is coming to a close, we only have like one or two little shows left here in our area. So we're all kind of really hoping that it happens and they get it. So that should be super fun. And I think more and more areas are doing this for cost, but also with facilities. And if you have a farm that you're able to host like a one-star USEF show or DF show too, it's great. It's great to do it. They're at kind of private facilities that open themselves up. And I'm very thankful for those shows because, you know, going to the horse park and sometimes that's not great for a lot of horses or even if you just want a quieter venue. So should be a fun weekend. And of course, you know, I think all our weather is, you know, I love fall. Fall's my favorite. I don't know about you, Megan.
I am so excited. I want cooler weather.
I want chili and football.
Exactly. Let's do it.
I love it. I also like fall, but it's also quite hot here still. It was 85 today. We're like, oh my Lord, please. We need rain again, but no, it's fantastic. But Megan, I think we have an awesome show. I think it was so fun to record this. Suzanne Owen Hurt has been a friend of ours for a really long time, and we're going to get to know a new friend as well. So we hope you enjoy. We've got our first guest coming along, and I hope you enjoy the show for today. Has your horse been diagnosed with a neurological or muscular disorder? Is he showing signs of a muscle wasting and impaired balance or coordination? Studies show that supplemented water-soluble natural vitamin E can reach a horse's brain and spinal cord through the blood-brain barrier, where it can benefit horses' neurological issues. If your horse has any signs of these problems, Elevate WS, a natural vitamin liquid, can help. A research-proven, powerful antioxidant maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune function. It does this by delivering a highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is preferably absorbed and retained in horses' tissue. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974. Well, tonight we are really honored, both Megan and I, to have a dear friend of ours who we're not going to say how long we've been friends.
No.
We have Suzanne Owen Hassler Hurt on. She has been a mentor to both Megan and I. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
You girls, this is like really fun. It's a reunion. It's honestly, it's just some sort of vision and dreams fruition all in one, right? Where I remember, Reese, when you started this podcast. And
yes.
You know, it was such a special experience to watch you launch something really meaningful. And Megan, you and I, the three of us have been dear friends since YDHGS. And all I can say is that to come together now in 2025, very cool.
Well, Suzanne, real quick, just so everybody knows the story, because Megan and I probably talked about our story before, but tell everybody what Young Dressage Horse Trainers Conference was, because that's what brought us all together.
Absolutely. And there's conversations about should we resurrect it and do it differently? And
that
we will return to that conversation. But what I will say in this intro is that I was very blessed, and Scott and I together were very blessed to have the opportunity to influence our community the way that we did through YDHTS. And YDHTS, that's the acronym for Young Dressage Horse Trainer Symposium. And the inception for this was that Scott and I had attended Global Dressage Forum in the Netherlands. And that was in, oh, I would say like 2000, oh God, we're aging, dating ourselves for sure. But it was 2001 through four. I think we were there 4 years. So we really got a sense for these like high level elite global dressage forums where you had, in that case, we had judges, we had participants, we had participating riders, we had educators. It was just a really great inspiration. And likewise, meanwhile, Scott had participated, and I was at that moment actually participating in the World Championships for Young Horses. And so I was fortunate enough to have Royal Prince, and he and I, in 2004, I still don't know how it happened, but we were fourth. Yeah. And, you know, the year back, unfortunately, he did have like a subclinical stress fracture, which I kept feeling. You know how it is as a rider.
Yes.
You're like, sure. Oh, something's not right with my horse. And they actually didn't pass him at the first vet check, but then they put him through and we did compete, but it was bugging him. So we didn't have near the same success the second year, but not to, mm-hmm. you know, that's actually excellent growth, isn't it though? Mm-hmm. You kind of have to learn to like roll with what is, and it's not like the career ending moment. It's the, yep. It's actually was affirming to me because I knew something was bugging my poor friend. But that said, we took those experiences and we launched a North American initiative to make developing professionals on the focus of truly doing it right by young horses the objective. And I'm so pleased we did, because back then, everybody's dream, Reese and Megan, you may feel the same thing. Everybody's dream back then was, I just want to be a Grand Prix rider. I just want to get to Grand Prix. Yep, sure. I want to go to Gladstone.
Even today,
I
want to be even more than
champions. If I'm going to make it in the dressage world, that's my aim. Well, there in Europe has always been a young horse professionals realm, and that exists in all of the licensing endeavors you see, from prepping young stallions for performance testing to all the Bundeschampionat classes. And then they introduced Nuremberg Burkokal, which is really like our PSG Developing Horse Championship. All of these divisions of sport long existed in Europe. And while I was at Mr. Rabine's back in 86, I went and watched some of those events, right? And I was so impressed, because like, I'm honestly like back then looking as this bright-eyed little 19-year-old going, oh man. One day you did, my friend. Yeah,
you did.
And I was blessed. I mean, but that, we all know that's a blessing, right? Like I super have to say thanks to God, because that was just a blessing. But the reality is that that division of sport exists in Europe where it did not back in the day exist here. And I have to really applaud like Markel and USDF and all the larger organizations, USEF, who have said, yeah, this is an important division of sport. And now, thanks to what Scott and I did for those 10 years. So it was 10 years. It was 2005 to 2000. Was it not 2015? Or was it maybe 2006 to 2016? I can't recall exactly.
I think it was 2005.
I think so. Five. Because I think I had just come home from, I think I had just come home and I had, Yeah, that's exactly right.
Gosh, it's been 20 years.
I actually think, you know what? No, I'm going to correct us. It was 2004.
That's probably right. Because that's right. No, we got married in 2006. Yep.
It was 2004 that we launched this, because I just come home from this fourth place finish in the world, which was just like mind boggling. And that wasn't really the point at all, but it was a lovely kind of universal gift of a launching point. And we brought riders together from all over North America.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, girls, this was like a seriously evolving thing the first year. We literally had a vision for 40 people max coming together.
Oh, wow.
Oh wait, no, let me read.
It was 70.
Yeah, let me rephrase. Actually, our original vision, I'll rephrase. was 10 riders, 10 no. people.
Oh my.
So what we did is we said, let's put out an ad that we're going to put together a paid training event for people yeah. who want to focus on training young horses. And with that, we honestly thought we'd have 10 to 20 max,
oh
right?
Oh my gosh.
Well, are you ready for this? We put out those applications. Reese, you were one of them.
I was a lifer. Yeah.
We received over 340 applications.
That's crazy.
No way.
So that meant reading 340 applications, watching 340 videos, which Scott did, I will say. I did not have to do that. I read the applications, but he watched the videos. And out of that, we totally redesigned the program. So it went from being this is obviously going to be a small intimate group to being like, okay, there's so much passion and interest and actually a load of talent out there. How are we going to do this? So what we ended up doing is selecting 40 people for that very first time, out of which 10 were participating riders. Yeah. And in fact, we were at Hilltop. And so Hilltop had a number of young stock. And Reese, you may remember the rodeo rider from California.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Somebody flew off. Yeah. We had someone fly off. We had.
It was really, that was really like the only time anyone ever fell off at one of
the. It was the first go, too.
And he was the rodeo rider, right?
Oh,
but anyway,
yeah.
Ego, just let it be known, ego will always get us in trouble.
Yes.
But
get that kid.
Yep, it got that poor guy. We never saw him again.
He was okay. His pride was definitely hurt.
Correct. But so this launched a 10-year initiative, and it was Hilltop Farm, and then it was later River Edge. But in the case of the Hilltop Farm years, Harmony Sport Horses was also involved. They were already our client. They were already supporting. And when we told them we wanted to do this initiative to develop a whole new class of professionals, they were all in. So John and Leslie came behind us, and they were always apart. So it was Hilltop and Harmony initially, and then it became just Harmony, obviously, when we moved to River Edge and started Hassler Dressage. But these 10 years, I mean, Reese, you can speak to it. Megan, you can speak to it. This was a time of evolving people's professional skills, but it was also a time of creating community. We always, always spoke to the fact that each of us have different strengths, each of us have different weaknesses. This forum, as it was called a symposium because it was multiple days, but this whole event is designed to not only build new skills, but to craft friendship and craft connectedness and craft community so that we can lean back into one another, which is exactly how this podcast actually started.
That's how it started, because dear Phil was, he was also a lifer. And he and I, actually the very first symposium, became friends. We just ended up just kind of hanging out. Megan, you didn't come until
It was the second one. I thought we met at the second one.
Because Megan, you were darn close to a lifer, my dear.
Yeah, I know. Missed the first year. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, too, I don't know that you remember the statistic from when we held the 10-year wrap-up, which was heartbreaking to have to wrap it up, but there were reasons why. And in that 10-year wrap-up, I don't know if you remember the statistics, but we had 172 alumni. And what that means is that 172 people came more than once, right? And we had much more than that if you added in the one-timers. But we called alumni those that said, nope, this matters, I'm coming back. And of that, you know, we ended up giving out those scholarships. And that was, again, massive generosity on the part of John and Leslie. And we were able to give $5,000 scholarships to, I think it was seven different people.
I think it was seven of us. Yes.
Amazing.
And I also was very lucky. I received one of those, and it kind of launched a very good friendship and a working relationship. I my relationship was with Michael Klemka, and I to this day still ride with him. And that was such a cool, I mean, again, I would never have thought I would have even been able to meet someone like that and train. And
like Michael,
and it was all the same family, and it was so cool.
Precisely. Yeah. And I think that, you know, what I gained from tremendous backing, I mean, I don't even know how to say it, right? I don't know that I deserved that kind of backing, but I had that kind of backing. And so what I chose to do with that backing was lead with my heart, you know, not my ego or my need to be bigger and better. It was like, how can I use this kind of support to bless others? And that's just my heart speaking. And so it was amazing because we really set Harmony Sport Horses up with their new person, Luke. We introduced Harmony to Klimka and Poppet, both of whom are like obviously very invested still. Harmony still invests in deeply. And I mean, it just launched so many powerful relationships that I just am very grateful for. And YDHTS was part of that. It was not only about that at all, but it was, it benefited. Let me just say it that way. It benefited from that. So when we leaned into giving out those scholarships the final year, the individuals who provided the training, in other words, we selected seven different guest trainers who we had selected to come and be part of YDHTS. So one thing I haven't said, and it might not be known, is that these were always super private. Like everybody wanted in, the press wanted in, owners wanted in. It was this, 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 and that. But we said, actually, no, like this is actually meant to be a very safe space. And we want this safe space to be for these people that we've invited to develop, because we all require safe space. We need to make mistakes and not be judged. And nowadays, my God, watch out. Right?
Yeah.
With the videos all over. Good Lord. And it's not to say that there was anything shameful ever happening, right?
No, the opposite,
absolutely, gladly put any training session from any one of these 10 years in front of the wide public
100%.
And not worry whatsoever. But it's a different kind of privacy. It was a privacy to say, you know, you're a developing professional.
Yeah.
We're going to support you to develop, and you don't need to be, there's no ego here. Like, don't need to feel like, I should know that, right? All the shoulds, I should be able to do that. I should know how to do that. I should be better at that. All of that set aside when it's private. You just get the safe space to learn.
It was,
and I think
it was
that's amazing. What it was.
Oh, life-changing. I mean, I think for everyone, like you said, I mean, that's literally where the podcast came out of. I mean, there's been so many things, but like you said, at the end of the day, we all came out with an understanding of how to train young horses, because it was such a, you know, and so is a whole different art to doing it. And it was
And the key, and not to cut you off at all, because I think you should share your piece of it, because you were, both of you are such big participants of it. But I think the underlying thing is that we don't want to lose the potential of a horse while developing him. And that was a very big focus. Do you recall that? Like some horses would be, this is a super 5 and 6 year old prospect, and this is why, and let's develop this horse for that, right? Because this horse will shine and that will be a great positive experience for this horse. But other horses, they were like, you know, this horse is really going to shine in the sevens or even the developing Grand Prix. So don't put the silly pressure on this horse to go do the 5 and 6s. Like, actually train the horse for where it will shine. This horse will shine. And I think that's was a very powerful message, because I think each of us in our private businesses were challenged to do the same thing. You know, not to, I guess I would say, cave to a owner's request of saying, I want to have my horse campaigned every weekend because I want to do whatever. You know, we don't have points like in dressage the way they do in other kinds of sport, but we all know the client that just wants to see their horse out every weekend, and that's like not good for a horse,
right?
But in fact, instead to say, these are really the innate talents of this horse, and we all learn to see those, identify those, and then lean into those to develop them back to their optimal.
Oh, I can't say it better. No, it was such an amazing event. And Suzanne, we also wanted to talk to you about Dressage at Devon, because you're so
We so got
amazing.
Off
is great. I love it. I love it. That's what the beauty of, again, of the conversation and all of it. And but going into Dressage at Devon, right? Because Dressage at Devon has the breeding part and the sport. So can you talk? I mean, this was the 50-year anniversary, which is crazy, of Devon. So
you know,
can you talk about
that? Was so grateful to be there. I'm gonna just share my age. I really don't care. I'll be 60 in March, which I feel like happy.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no, I can't even believe that. I can't believe that.
You're lying to us. I'm happy to own it. It's no problem. I'm physically stronger, more flexible and happier and younger in my body than ever. So I'm good. But the point is that like I've been there since 1985. I went to my very first Devon, which I'd read about in the Chronicle of the Horse. Like I remember actually reading, this is a very funny little thing, but I remember reading about Scott Hassler winning at third level on Chico. Back in the day, they had third level. Yeah, now they only start in fourth level. But right, I mean, it was really funny. So I remember reading in the Chronicle of the Horse, RIP Chronicle of the Horse. But I remember reading about Devon in Colorado. I mean, I was way out in Colorado. And so then, you know, fast forward my life and I'm coming down from Canada, where I trained with Crystal and Hanson Boylan and for a year and a half. And then I started college and I had to leave college for all these reasons. And then was with my most beloved Belinda Bowden at the time. Now Belinda Wertman, RIP. So, you know, I had looked at Devon as the ultimate showground. Like in the day, Wellington wasn't a thing.
It was.
Wellington was not a thing. Wellington had zero. It was not even on anyone's horizon. And we call it the tradition of Devon, the Devon tradition, right? And I'm telling you, what's beautiful about Devon, Devon brings top players in the sport to a central place along Philadelphia's main line. I mean, we're talking... It's residential.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it's crazy.
It's not like farms, right? This is residential area.
Yes.
And the best part of what they do, and I don't mean it best, but it's one of the great things, right? One of the high fives is that they have a country fair. So that means that they have lovely shops with beautiful things, whether they're equestrian related things or just beautiful things, right? I think I saw a shop this year that was about Turkish towels. And I'm like,
ooh, stop it.
Turkish towels have arrived at Dressage at Devon, right? I'm kind of laughing walking past, but I'm sure they did very well because what happens is that people in the community who have just a passion or interest in horses, but who have no business in horses, right? Just passion and interest, they flock to Devon. Devon does the most amazing thing because we start with the breed show Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday into Friday in terms of riding aspects of the breed. But Tuesday through Thursday is essentially breed and Friday through Sunday is essentially performance. And the beautiful thing that they do is they meld this whole experience that it requires beautifully bred, beautifully handled, beautifully prepared horses to actually lend themselves to the top of sport, right? Like it's not spoken. You never hear that segue. But like, for example, when I'm there as a live commentator, of course, because I have such a deep, you know, foundation in breeding, it was my professional career as well as dressage, you know, as a professional rider as well. It's like the two come together for me so beautifully at Devon because you're sitting in the breed divisions and looking at the expression of certain breed lines and like, oh yes, that's very classic for that stallion. That's very, we're talking about mechanics to genetics to phenotype to form versus function. I mean, we're looking at all of this and we're also talking about how is a breed show actually judged, right? It's not a dressage test. It's if a young horse jumps about and expresses himself with exuberance, they're never penalized for that. And that's because these are babies or yearlings or two-year-olds or threes that are brought out of fields, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a mature division as well to all that. But of course, the young ones are the ones that most of the time are the ones leaping or, you know, catapulting or taking a side swipe because they're just like, I'm done. I haven't had turnout for 3 days. I'm over it. Let me go back in my field.
Yes.
We talk about
that. It's so true.
Yeah, we talk about it. It's a very real point. So the beautiful thing is in a breeding class, none of that is penalized, right? It's really looking for the opportunity to evaluate the horse at its best. And so the handler, and I do want to like ask me, please, like note it down, ask me to loop back to the handler thing, because that's a whole other thing. But handlers are taught to present the horse in what we call an open stance, where you see the beautiful open shoulder and the depth of the hind quarter. So the near fore and the near hind leg are open. in the position, but they should always stand in balance with an uphill expression. So then opposite, obviously, you have the far hind and the far foreleg closed, right? So that they're actually showing underneath the horse more. Does that make sense?
How I'm describing? Yes.
Yes, right. So that's a very important stance, and that's how a judge has the opportunity to see. And so actually the judge takes a 360 around the horse. And when you're in the basic divisions, you have one judge, but then you elevate to like two judges. So most of the classes I was commentating on Thursday, we had two judges because these were like kind of final classes. I stepped in on the finals. Mo Swanson and I always, we always join up, me and Klaus Chang there as well. But Mo is often there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, getting all the commentary, and she does a lovely job. And so I was like her add-on on Thursday, and these were all finals classes, like the Eastern States Philly Championships and the Eastern States Full Championships. I think those were the classes that I watched as well as and commentated on. There might have been one other, but regardless, these are the creme de la creme of the region, right? The creme de la creme of the region. And what's really fun, I mean, this is what's, so from my vantage, and I'm sorry, I talk in all kinds of circles and loops. It's the wired brain, right? Where all the wires intercross and I jump from wire to wire. You've heard that.
I love it.
But I can go back to like the history of Devon, but with having a chance to see the creme de la creme, right? I'm actually looking at horses that were champions at their breed show in New York or champions at their breed show in Massachusetts or New Jersey or Pennsylvania or Maryland or Virginia, right? So our region or Maine or New Hampshire, I shouldn't like exclude any states, but those are the primary states, right? So you're looking at the creme de la creme from the top one and two. Anyone who places one or two ends up in that Eastern States class. And they're very competitive. I always say anybody who's in this class, you've already won a ribbon. Congratulations, right?
Yes.
And the other thing that we always say, and I really mean it from the bottom of my heart, because one of the services at Hilltop Farm that we developed when Scott and I were there, and I don't know if it's still current, but it probably is, we developed a breeder service where we wanted our breeders to have excellent handling to present the offspring they've raised to their optimal presentation, because it's an art, right? It's truly an art. It's not something that it's not, you don't pick it up as an amateur and just do it great. I'm sorry. You just don't. Like, there's a style, there's a presentation, there's a technique, there's horsemanship. And so I'll loop back to what I said, remind me, but we actually started a nationwide, we even included Canada. So I guess I should say continental wide handling seminar. That we you girls will laugh because you know exactly who they are. Michael.
Yeah.
Bird, and then two other lovely Swedes who I can name, but I'll just say just for right now, two other men that we were, three other men that we actually imported, as I always would joke them.
Yes.
You guys are my imports. I'm very proud of my imports. But these men were young men who were qualified to come into the country under a very special level of ability. So we got them green cards. We got them, you know, proper working visas, and we employed them and we actually developed them. And the two I mentioned are still in this country. The other three, actually, Olaf is still in this country as well. He's part of this Stacy Parvey, who is now Stacy Larson. So Olaf Larson, he's one of them. And anyway, so there were five, I would say, that we really put years into developing as young horse handlers. And I will tell you, watching Devon today, I feel like there's a lasting residue. You know what I mean? Like there's a lasting impact.
That's so cool.
This is how you actually properly present a young horse, because we always would say this, and this is what I mentioned often when I was commenting. You want to see the horse in freedom, and so when a young horse, maybe be it a foal, a yearling, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, even let alone an older horse, if they feel manhandled in the bridle while they're being run in hand. It's just like riding girls.
Yeah.
It stops everything from being beautiful.
Absolutely.
When they can understand boundaries and run in hand with respect and like understanding of this is my space, this is your space. When I move my shoulder this way, you slow down. When I activate it this way, you accelerate, you push a little harder, right? It's just like riding. So we taught a system of handling, which I use today. Any horse I ride, I do this with before I get on, because it's part of anything we do on the horse, on the ground with the horse, becomes what we do, what we have access to on under saddle. So that was a whole endeavor. And I think we did at Hilltop Farm, I think we ran our handlers like nationwide, like North American wide clinics for, oh my goodness, I'm kind of guessing right now, but I'm going to say about 10 years easily. It preceded YDHTS. Yeah.
Wow.
Super cool. And I what I'm saying is that when I watch Devin, I always kind of have this joy in watching the fact that in 1985, when I went there as a young rider and participated in the young rider divisions, to then 1994, when we brought Riverman, and Riverman was grand champion. And we came back with his daughter, Rivita. Rivita became a grand champion. And then we came with a Contucci daughter. Contucci himself didn't go, but his full sister, Capricia, did, and she was grand champion. We had a Contucci son who was grand champion. And, you know, you could just go back year after year after year with offspring from your own program, but then expand out. I think I had, I'm not exaggerating, I would laugh. I felt like camp, like it was camp. Or it was like, I don't know what, a family reunion. I don't know what it was, but I had a clipboard. And all I can say, on my clipboard, there were at least 6 sheets per day, because there were 2 arenas. And on those 2 arenas, I probably had 3 sheets per arena every day. So I was running forth my job. I wasn't running the horses. Nope. I'm going to give that to the guys with the long legs and the high feet. But I was the coordinator. So I was always running back and forth between the ring stewards saying, okay, we have a handling conflict here. We will get your horse in next, but I've got to get this one in for this one. And they were like, no problem. Just tell us what you need. The Devon volunteers are amazing.
They are.
That is so. So Suzanne, let's transition a little bit. I mean, this year there was the Ingrid Klimke Masterclass, and then, you know, Saturday night at Devon. I mean, these are huge things.
Those are fun times. Well, Ingrid's, I will just say, I'm so sorry that you couldn't be there. So please get online. I'm more than happy to forward links. It was a masterclass, and Ingrid herself, let's just pause, because she is a consummate horsewoman. I too have a long standing relationship with Michael and was at his stable for years when I was competing over there. And of course the family just has such a deep and rich heritage, right? Like there's so many massive accomplishments. And I will say, I think Ingrid embodies all of them. She is
amazing.
100% like a class horseman. And I say that for a lot of reasons. I mean, she's obviously an event rider at the top in Olympic level. She's also a dressage rider at the top Olympic level. But I'm just going to digress for 2 seconds. I think horses evolve us as people. And dressage in particular, in my view, and it could be that jumpers do this, I don't know. It could be that an eventing discipline develops this as well. It very well could be. I just can speak from my own experience that I think as dressage riders, we have to elevate ourselves in our self, you know, our discipline, self-discipline, our respect for our horse, our partner. And the very act of really pouring ourselves into dressage makes us, We actually have to evolve as people. You cannot ride like a child. You cannot ride like a teenager who's angry. You cannot ride like an entitled young adult. You cannot ride as like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so when we as dressage riders really arrive, we've set our ego aside. We accept our mistakes. We accept our weaknesses. We allow our horses to instruct us, right? Mm-hmm. And it elevates us. We become a better version of ourselves thanks to our horses. And thankfully, if we do it well with nice aids and kindness, our horses elevate. They become a better version of themselves. So it's this whole upward spiral. And when I look at Ingrid Klimke, that's what I see. Like, she is that. I respect each and every one of the Klimke's family. I mean, Ruth is a spectacular woman. Ralph, their brother, you know, Rolf, really, I said Ralph, it's Rolf with an O, Rolf. Rolf and Ingrid and Michael, they're all wonderful humans. And I look at Ingrid and I just see the most evolved version, because she's so tuned in to what it is to let horse sport be playful and fun and praise, full of praise and full of try it again and let failure be a win. You know, there's never a reprimand in her. She's always saying good job.
I love that.
And that is a master in my mind. She was a perfect choice. And in particular, I thought she was a perfect choice because dressage is a fabulous foundation for anything.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right?
It is.
And yes.
Yeah. And so her masterclass started with two event riders. And that was
awesome. So cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I will tell you both that those event riders looked like they could participate at
highest
levels of dressage at Devon. I mean, they were beautiful riders.
Well, and Suzanne, for the final, can we talk about Saturday night? Because it sounded so cool.
Okay. So Saturday night, just get this. So we had our legends for Parade of Legends, which that was just stupidly fun. Like, it was so sweet because, like, we gathered and they gave us these. Okay, I will admit, I will keep it forever. My little scarf that says Legend of Devon. But it was so special. And they told us to wear black pants and white tops. And we all showed up differently, but we all were in that color coding. And we put on our scarves. And we all were just reminiscing, like, at the in gate, quote unquote, prior to, like, when we paraded. It was just like a family reunion. I mean, I saw people I had not seen in 40 years. It was amazing. And people who had been an integral part to my professional life and my personal life. So it was very, very special. And then, of course, we paraded and it was so fun. And it almost felt like, I'll be honest, it felt like a silly little mimic of like a Olympic parade where you're like waving at fans, you're waving at family, you're waving at the people that you love most. You know, it's not like fans like you adore me, it's more like I adore you, thank you for waving at me. You know, it was really fun. So we did that, and I was so grateful they had golf carts to, you know, include those who needed to just be in a golf cart.
Right.
A very much big part of it. Yes. I mean, it was highly inclusive. It was great. And they called out a lot of like crazy stats. People who had ridden, like, I think Lauren Chumley had ridden like 136 classes.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, goodness. Right. And then they also called out all the judges who had just been a part and who are now part of the board. It was highly inclusive. It was really beautiful. So that was a ton of fun. And then we went on to, the start of the Grand Prix freestyle, which you and I all, like, both of you know, it is such a highlight career to ride the freestyle at Devon. And I'm grateful. Thank you, John and Leslie, for letting me have access to Baroncelli. And he and I danced a couple times there. We had a great time. But the reality is that is always like what brings dressage to the community. Right. So all these people who are not dressage or horse people even, but happen to think horses are pretty, they come and they watch that and they're highly entertained. And the music standard this day has completely shifted. It's no longer like, you know,
classical.
I don't know. Right. Yeah. Classical. And I will admit I used like tenor Baroncelli music, but Baroncelli, come on.
Yes, I was gonna say
I was on brand with Baroncelli, but you know, we had everything from Led Zeppelin to It was incredible. Some amazing freestyles. And I was mesmerized by some of them. Like, so proud of our U.S. writers and Canadian writers. Canada had a great showing at the show.
Yeah.
And then, but then pause, because halftime, what comes out? But the PVDA quadrille.
Woo-hoo! And
so fun. These writers, eight writers, all from PVDA. That's what a Potomac Valley Dressage Association. They had put, what is it called? Like the glow-in-the-dark lights on their horses' legs. So cool. And then also along their tails and top lines. And so, and they lit them up at different times. So it was highly choreographed, incredibly well done. This group of writers, they're all, I hope I'm not offending anyone, but I think they're all amateur writers. Amazing. They pulled off an extraordinary quadrille. And of course, as it's getting dark and you have all these kind of glow in the dark lights on the horses who are moving, it's light in motion. It was beautiful and so well done. And then of course the freestyle finishes out and you've got just, oh, I mean, the top five, I could honestly make an argument. They each had, it's technicalities that separated them. And sure. That's it. They were all just awesome. Awesome, nice. Awesome, awesome. Nice. So yeah, Devin, no doubt, every year. I was actually, I'll be honest, I'd been there since Wednesday night. I was going to leave before the end of the freestyle and I stayed because it was just too good not to stay.
Right, you're like, I have to stay.
Yeah, I had a 2+ hour drive home. I got home after midnight.
Wow.
But I'm like, I'm going to do it.
Worth it.
You're like, I'm doing it.
It was so good.
Oh, I love that. Oh, Suzanne, we could just keep you on here forever. I mean, hearing about the history, I mean, that's, like you said, community and history. We can't forget it. And we have to keep fostering it in this industry. I mean, I think now is the time.
And I feel bad. I don't know if we're out of time, but I want to tell you one quick thing. When you are at Devon, you think about the likes of the Kay Merediths,
yes.
Right? Like Kay Meredith, one of the mothers of dressage in this country. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how well either of you knew. You guys were probably not even born.
We were young. If we weren't born, we were young.
You guys were like maybe toddlers. But Kay Meredith, are you flipping kidding me? Kay Meredith was like who everybody thought about. And Pam Goodrich and it was Pam Goodrich and Pat Goodman. I mean, there were so many, like, I want to say archival dressage figures that are part of the history of Devon.
Yes.
And I have a whole other piece I could talk to you about, which was the Marty Simonson Trophy, which was Simonson Trophy. But that was a huge thing in honoring people in the industry. So we can talk about that another time if we're out of time. But
I love
There's so much about dressage at Devon that I would say capitulates why we as human beings look into horses, like why we lean in,
right?
Why we want horses in our lives, why we want dressage in our lives, why we want to be better than we are.
It's true. I love it. Oh, Suzanne, we could keep you on forever. We're going to have you back. We have so much more we can talk to you about.
Oh, but I have gazillions of topics.
That's why we love you.
I just want to talk to you both because I love you.
I know
it's a family.
We love it. Well, Suzanne, how can our listeners find you online and follow you? And if they need to ask more questions, you're always so wonderful and generous.
Facebook, I'm River Girl Dressage. So my last place of business as a family was Hassler Dressage at River Edge. And so I am River Girl, all one word, dressage on Facebook. And it links automatically to Instagram. I think it's Suzanne.Owen.146, I think. Anyway, on Instagram. But you'll see a picture of me on Rousseau.
I love it.
Yeah. And I will say at Devon, he had two, one in the Grand Prix, the other in the medium tour, as we'll call it. Two offspring shining, and it made
your day. Oh, I love it. Thank you enough for your time tonight. You've been so generous, and we're going to keep the party going and just remembering too. It's so important. So thank you so much for your time tonight.
Get ready for fall with Chewy. From hoof boots and saddlebags for golden hour adventures to coolers and clippers for crisp weather workouts, you'll find everything your horse needs this season. Support their health through pasture changes with vitamin E and ration balancers, or care for metabolic horses with targeted supplements, prescriptions, and even ice boots to soothe soreness. And if your horse is feeling a little too fresh in the fall air, calming supplements are just a click away. With trusted brands you know and fast, free shipping on orders over $49, Chewy makes it easy to keep your horse comfortable and cared for. For seasonal must-haves, for the brands you trust, for fast delivery, there's Chewy. Shop now at chewy.com/equine.
I'm thrilled tonight to have a friend and kind of neighbor to my farm here in Kentucky, Stacy Brass of Brass Stallion Station on the line. Stacy, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I love it. I think we're almost an hour apart, but we basically are in the same area.
Totally.
Yeah. I love it. And you are fairly new to the Lexington, Kentucky area, right?
Yeah. We've been here for 4 years now.
Gosh, time does fly.
I know.
I know. I'm like, really? I thought it was last year. Well, we're so happy to have you. And so, Stacy, tell us a little bit about yourself and your stallions and what you're up to, because you're up to some pretty fun stuff.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm a Grand Prix rider myself, and I've spent most of my career really loving the stallions, and I love riding them. I love managing them. I love interacting with them. They just make a whole lot of sense to me on a personality level. And 4 years ago, I got the opportunity to begin standing Castells Nintendo, who's a very accomplished international Grand Prix stallion that Charlotte Dorst did a lot of really exciting stuff with. And that sort of started my journey. And at the time, I just had my farm here, and I began standing him on her behalf. And that led up to 18 stallions now we have that we are standing, which
That's
is so
crazy.
Exciting from all around
so
the world.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's led me on a really exciting journey. And most recently, it's led me to begin housing and training her clones that are,
yes.
Three of them are the clones of Castells Nintendo, and two of them are the clones of Zeppelin Langholt. So that's been really cool to be a part of.
That is so cool. I've got to ask about the clones. I mean, I've been watching on Facebook and it's so fun. Like, I mean, is it the same person? I mean, they look really similar, obviously, but what about the personalities?
They're very similar. They're very, very similar. They're very similar to ride. They're very similar to interact with. In fact, we had to keep their halters very close by with their names on them for the first couple weeks to make sure that we didn't get them mixed up, because they're so similar. It's been wild, but a once in a lifetime, just a total privilege to be a part of.
It's so cool. Yeah, I just it'll be fun to see what happens with them, like, over time.
Yeah,
and that, you know, it's so fun to see how they're developing, and it's neat. I think that's
fun. It's been really cool. They came in March. We got them all started to saddle, and then we felt that it was the right. Well, Charlotte felt that it was the right time to get one from each of them approved as a stallion. So we did do that last month. And then after both of them got approved, so Nintendo Switch got approved on behalf of Castells Nintendo, and Nintendo himself is Negro and Monaco and Glendale. And then Stairway to Heaven got approved on the clone of Zeppelin Langholt. And Zeppelin Langholt is by the great Glock Sonic, who, of course, has his offspring have been doing really well recently in international competition. And then he's out of a Staudinger mare. So it's been really exciting. And once that one got approved, we made the decision to take him to the dressage at Devon Breed Show this past week.
Yeah, so tell us about the breed show. Like, I think this is such a cool opportunity. We don't give breed shows and breeders enough love, so.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And as a side note, it's such a passion of mine to help and assist North American breeders in any of their dreams and their goals with their mare. So it's been really exciting as we've been building up our stallion roster to be able to offer a more diverse set of bloodlines and accomplishments to North American breeders. So it's been really exciting as we've brought on this particular stallion, Stairway to Heaven. So he went and it was so much fun. What an absolute blast. And he did great. He ended up overall as the reserve champion for the Colts and Geldings for dressage at Devon with, I think, an 81.75 or something.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's so fun.
What makes Devon so magical for anyone who hasn't been there? Like, what... why was it such a great experience for you?
I mean, it is, as you say, for someone who hasn't been there, it's this iconic historical showgrounds that feels really like you're going back in time when you're there. And when you see the layout of the showgrounds, it's right in the middle of a town. And then there's this small little campus, and this is the showgrounds. And they have been able for 50 years, was their anniversary this year, to preserve the showgrounds and continue to offer it to enthusiasts of horse lovers everywhere. And I think what makes it special, yes, you have an elite level of horses that come to compete there. They're really spectator friendly. So I think you end up getting a lot of people that may or may not know anything about horses that just come to the Devon Horse Show for whatever discipline happens to be competing that weekend to be a part of it. The food is amazing. There's this amazing trade show village, and you can just shop until your heart's content, which is wonderful.
And like not just horse stuff, right? I mean, just beautiful things.
Yeah, it's a really lovely environment, and it's just a great place to see friends, and it's a great place to be. You feel like when you're there, you're part of something really, really special in your respective sport. And what's really cool about the breed show is that the breed show leads up to the CDI. So alongside being there and having the honor of competing your horse in the breed show, you're watching these world famous riders and equally famed horses coming in, and they're warming up in the arena next to you. It's surreal. It's wild to see. And it's so cool. And actually this year, when we took Stairway to Heaven, who is the clone of Zaplin, Zaplin himself was also there competing in the CDI for the World Cup qualifier. So it was really cool. We actually got a photo of the two of them side by side. It's the same horse, really.
Special.
Yeah, it's cool.
Wow.
Well, Stacey, one of the cool things about Devon is that there is a breed show alongside of a CDI, because a lot of times, you know, I don't get to see breed shows that often as a, you know, as a sport rider, I guess, you know, and so talk to us. I mean, that's maybe one of the only shows where this happens.
Yeah, I think it's really special, and I think it's really important that we are understanding the pipeline of the breeders that are hopefully creating these future superstars for these riders that are these high performance riders. And I think that has to be the future of our sport. So it's really exciting when we have everybody in one venue and like I said, they can kind of rub shoulders and be in the same space and interact and have meaningful conversations that hopefully can build the sport in a good way going forward.
Yeah, because like you were saying, you know, breeding in North America, I mean, is becoming more and more, not that it wasn't important before, but, you know, now importing it can be tricky. So talk a little bit about that, like breeding in North America and how you're taking a huge part of trying to make this a real push for this.
It's a real passion of mine. And, you know, my goal myself is to help come alongside mare owners and help them choose the right stallion for their mares. And it's so rewarding to see the foals that are created out of this effort that go on and do these amazing things. And I think that's the heartbeat of the future of dressage for North America, but specifically for the United States. And I'm really, really committed to bring forward as many high performance mares that are contributing to this, and also stallions, because I believe that that's the key. We have to have as much as we can both, I guess you could call them parents in this case, having a history of being trainable and being rideable. And that's the focus that I'm trying to work on, is I'm trying to create the foals that have the best chance possible for success in sport in the future. I guess you could look at it as, you know, if you breed Michael Jordan to Michael Jordan, there's a fairly good chance that whatever's going to result from that is going to want to play basketball pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's kind of the thought.
And you have a lot of stallions, right, mm-hmm. that you have access to, right? You have 18, 14?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 18.
18. I mean, that's an incredible amount of stallions. And, you know, I was just looking at the roster. I mean, you have a huge roster. And how easily can you, I mean, is this frozen? Is it fresh? Like how, that's what I was trying to check.
Yeah, we're diving into every aspect of reproduction. So here's mm-hmm. a great example is a colt that we have on the ground at my farm here that I actually pulled him out of his mum a few months ago. He is the product of two international Grand Prix horses. His mother is an international Grand Prix horse, and his sire, Nintendo, is also an international Grand Prix horse. And not that I don't love every breeding project. I really, really do. But sure. These breeding projects are really exciting because I think these horses both have a track record of soundness, sport, trainability, rideability. That's what we're trying to create coming forward. And I think, you know, we can breed for movement as much as we want to. But when we're breeding for movement in a scenario where we have a career broodmare, we don't know the trainability of that mare.
So Stacey, I think that's really important, right? I mean, I think in a lot, and I'm not picking on American breeders because it happens in Europe too. It's not like it doesn't, but you know, I've heard people say, well, she has, you know, good bloodlines, but she's not going to be, we're going to breed her because we can't get her around the ring. She's a stinker. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you don't want to breed that because you're going to have to try to ride the foal. Mm-hmm. So I think some people think, well, you know, I have a mare and I can ride her. And it's like, oh, I don't know. As a sport rider, you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like that thing's completely untrainable. Why would you breed it? Mm-hmm. So I think what you just said is really important. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it does. I think that creating a foal that has, you know, both sides of its family tree stacked with aptitude for high sport is really exciting. And like I said, these sorts of projects are, they're rare that you get access to mares of this kind of a caliber. Sure. And I'm happy to help anybody on, you know, on any part of their journey. But I think that the key to the United States dressage team becoming more competitive one of the many keys, and this is the key that I believe I can help with, is to help produce the best possible product that is going to be the most trainable, the possessing the greatest aptitude for collection down the road, the one that has the temperament to handle these big venues later on down the road. Yeah. And so that's what I have been focusing my time on. So in order to create these foals that do have a high aptitude for top sport, we've ended up utilizing a lot of different methods of creating these foals. Some of these mares can carry the foal directly themselves. In the case of the mare we were just talking about, the retired International Grand Prix mare, she's still fit enough and young enough to be able to carry her own foal. So she has done that. She's directly carried. In other cases, there are mares that are still in sport. And for a variety of reasons, it may not be the right idea for them to take, you know, up to 2 years off to be able to have a pregnancy, have the foal, wean the foal, get back into shape, and then go back to work. So what we've done is we've come alongside these mare owners and we've collaborated with high sport clients that would like to create a foal that has an aptitude for high sport. And we've utilized more advanced methods of reproduction. So two of those methods would be embryo transfer, where we would inseminate the mare with the stallion semen of choice. At about a week, we will flush the uterus. Hopefully we're finding an embryo during that time. And then we implant it, is the right word for it, into a recipient mare. This is a really cool thing as well for recipient mares, because especially in Kentucky, as you know, Reese, there are a lot of mares that have come off of perhaps racing careers, and they may not have a bright future ahead of them. So this is a great way to repurpose them, to give them security and a good life as as a mother. And so then they would carry the pregnancy, and they are the mother to that foal for all intents and purposes. And they have that same bond with the foal as though it is biologically theirs. And I think it's good for both of them. The other procedure that we use is something called ICSI, where we will extract the eggs or the oocytes out of the mare and in a lab setting inject the individual eggs with the sperm of the stallion of choice. We will create the embryos, and then the embryos can either be re-implanted into a recipient mare fresh, or they can be frozen and used at a later date. This is really handy as well with stallions that may or may not have good semen quality. So in a traditional artificial insemination situation, they may struggle to get mares pregnant, maybe because they don't have a high level of motility of their semen. But in an ICSI scenario where you're quite literally choosing the most vibrant sperm that actually climbs up this microscopic needle that you would then implant into the egg, that's a really wonderful opportunity to utilize those stallions and still be able to get quality offspring from them. And then again, those embryos can be implanted into a recipient mare, and then you create a baby.
I love that. I love it. I mean, this is the kind of stuff, again, that is available. And you really need someone like yourself to kind of walk you through the process. I've done embryo transfer. Also, you know, I bred a Grand Prix mare to a Grand Prix stallion, and I did get a Grand Prix horse out of her, which was
very good.
So I believe in the process and what you're saying. You know, it makes sense because the mare was so trainable, but we did embryo transfer for that.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. So I love it. Oh my gosh, Stacey, we could just keep you on forever. I mean, I think this is so great. We need some, you know, people to ask breeding questions, because I think it's so important. Like you said, you know, clearly this is a wonderful passion that we all need to be, you know, supporting, because we need breeders in the U.S. It's such an important thing. So thank you so much for your time tonight. This has been awesome.
You're welcome.
About, you know, about breeding and about Devon. We've loved it. So how can our listeners find you online with, you know, if they have more questions?
Well, I'm on all the socials. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook under brass.stables or under Stacy Brass. And then our website is www.brass-stables.com.
Love it. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together the top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more, featuring top experts including five-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, International Grand Prix dressage competitor Anna Baffini, Olympic dressage team bronze medalist Laura Graves, and many more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit equestrianplus.com to subscribe.
Well, Megan, we have some awesome book club. Right? We have a new book that we're talking about, which is so exciting. Everyone who is playing along with our book club, we and reading along, we're really, really enjoying. I think everyone's having a good time with this. So our first book, just a reminder, and it's this quarter, and this may be our first discussion, but it's Begin and Begin Again by Denny Emerson. So we're really looking forward to this book. Again, you can get it at horseandriderbooks.com, Trafalgar Square. We love them. But also, just an announcement for convention, because everyone's loving this so much. We decided to add a bonus book for convention with Beth Baumertz, When Two Minds Meet. And it is a phenomenal book. And she will be our at our book club at convention. Megan and I will be there. And we'll get to interview Beth Baumertz. So we're really, really looking forward to that. And as always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com, and my email is lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Chewy. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the auditor program found at horseradionetwork.com. Keep on kicking on until the next show. Talk to you soon.